Let's take our Bibles this morning and be turning to the book of Luke. The book of Luke this morning. We're so thankful for each and every one that's come this way today. I do believe that the Lord has ordered the song service today, and when we get into our text, you'll understand why. I want to ask you a question this morning, and we may even ask for a little bit of feedback. But if you could be thankful this morning, I've asked three different individuals this before I came to the pulpit this morning. If you could be thankful this morning for one thing, and I don't think there's a wrong answer, but I want to paint a picture this morning. If you just this morning were asked what would you be thankful for and you had to just say one thing, what would that be? Let's just throw your hand up at me and say I'm thankful for, and that thing that came. Brother Steve, grace. You're thankful for grace. Yeah. And I want to show you something this morning. These roads are all, I believe, going to lead to the same place. And I go ahead, Brother Wayne. Carol. You're thankful for Carolyn. Or Carol. Okay. Amen. Anybody else? Come on now. Help me. Brother Jeff. His children. You're thankful for the children. Brother, Sister Carol. For the blood of Jesus Christ. Brother Gary. Amen. 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 Anybody else? Come on, help me just a minute. Hey, yes, Zach. You're thankful for this church. Zach, we're thankful for you too, buddy. Amen. If we're not careful, we'll take things for granted, won't we? Brother Larry. For the will of God. The word of God. Amen, brother. Somebody else. Brother Tim. For his mercy. Okay. Amen. Let's get a couple more. I'm thankful. Just that one thing real quickly. Brother Rose. For salvation. Okay. Anybody else? Miss Kathy. Sister Kathy. Thankful for faith and joy. Okay. Okay. I'm thankful for Charity and Elizabeth too. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, next. Somebody else. Brother Bill. For the love of God. That's very good. Brother Randy, what would you say this morning? But just one thing I'm thankful for. To be a child of God. Thankful to be a child of God. I'm thankful you're a child of God too, brother. As mean as you are now, I can't imagine how bad it was. Amen. Without him. Miss Deb throw both hands up. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Brother Kenny?
Pastor, I'm thankful for all the pastors that are in this church. It's such a blessing to have all these men of God here in this church.
Amen. 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 Where at, Brother John? Joy? Joy, you got one, honey? Okay, tell me what she said, John. For hope. Okay. Amen. Brother John? Oh, that might be a good place to start then. For life. Amen. Amen, Brother Joe. Thankful for life. Amen. Let's look in our Bibles this morning. And what I want to preach about today is thank God for Calvary. Really, when you think about everything that's been said, that's where it leads. The roads lead to Calvary. Salvation, grace, mercy. This church. Zach, if it wasn't for Calvary, this church wouldn't be here.
If it wasn't for Calvary, we wouldn't have hope. If it wasn't for Calvary, Brother Joe, we wouldn't have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. Wouldn't have eternal life. So I want to look this morning, and Brother Ralph opened the service with the song, Draw Me Nearer, 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 Blessed Lord, to Thy Blessed or Precious Bleeding Side. It's Thanksgiving, and I'm going to be honest with you. The world is going to, they're going to be thinking of Thanksgiving as maybe a feast, maybe a football game, maybe some fun along the way. But God's people, we ought to be thinking about our Father. We ought to be thinking about His forgiveness. We ought to be thanking God for our family. We ought to be thanking God for our fellowship. And we ought to be thanking God for our future that we have in Him. We as God's people have a bright future. Things are getting dark in this world. I didn't understand this really when I first heard it, but gloriously dark. Amen. Brother John was talking about Sunday school, all the things that are trying to influence us, and like a magnet and steel, just pick. We want the flesh wants to pick it up. It wants us to attract. But thank God, we're living in the generation that I believe will see the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Preacher, I don't think you ought to say that." Well, Paul did, so I will. Amen. Paul believed he was living in that generation. Amen. And it wasn't until the last days of his life that he understood that he was going to go out of this world by way of the grave. Let me read to you the portion of scripture that's in my heart. Verse 27 of Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23 and verse number 27. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. I want to say as I go down through the scripture this morning, listen, we're not in the majority, but I do thank my God that there's still a great company of people following him. And I thank God that when you're in that company, you're in good company. Amen. The Bible talked about the company of those that publish the word of God. In verse 28, but Jesus turning unto them said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, this is the King of the Jews. One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. You know, that tells me something about that thief that was dying when he said that. He must have been hearing along the way about this man Jesus. He must have been hearing how that he went about doing good. He must have been hearing about how many people that he had helped. Or else how could he say, just in his they're dying together, that this man had done nothing amiss. I believe Jesus had a wonderful reputation, don't you?
Yeah.
Even Pilate said, I find no fault in him. And the word of God said in verse 42, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly, this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, boy, what a sight Calvary was. Beholding the things which were done, they smote their breast and returned. And all his acquaintance and all the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. Let's pray together. Our Lord, we're grateful for the privilege to read the Bible. And Lord, we know that it's this precious old book and this precious old story of a place called Calvary. It's given us hope, brought to us mercy, brought to us grace, brought to us your salvation, made it possible for us to be one of your children. God, thank you for your word that tells us, Lord, of Jesus, our Savior. Lord, I do pray this morning that, God, you would speak to us, speak through us, our Lord. Lord, I pray this morning that the Holy Spirit would, Lord, just grasp every heart and mind. Lord, when we get ready that special day that we've set aside to be thankful, may someone at the table just speak up. Say, I thank God for the cross. I thank God for Calvary. And Lord, I pray you'll burn this message in our minds. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I've got several things I want to share with you this morning on this thought. Thank God for Calvary. I trust and I pray that it'll be a blessing. I pinned down some things, and before I get into the message, I just want to say Calvary must have been a gruesome sight. The Word of God declares things like all of his joints were out of place. The Word of God declares things like all of his bones stared at him. The Word of God said that not a bone of him was broken. There were nails in his hands and nails in his feet. There was a crown of thorns platted and pulled down in his head. The Bible said in the book of Isaiah that his visage was so marred more than the form of any man. I believe that Jesus didn't look like much more than a piece of meat hanging on a pole when they got finished with him that day. I believe he was in very bad shape after the scourging, let alone after the crucifixion of our Lord. But now what I want to give you today is some thoughts that God placed in my heart. I'll give them to you quickly, and I believe the Lord will speak to our hearts. What happened that day when Jesus, he often said, for this cause came I into the world. His disciples were trying to divert him around Jerusalem. They were trying to divert him around the cross. They didn't want to see him suffer. But our Lord knew that that's exactly why he was born. That's exactly why he stood up from the right hand of God the Father and said, I'll go. I'll do what needs to be done that the Lord might be able to forgive us along the way. I want to give you some thoughts this morning, and I trust it'll be a blessing. The first thought that God put in my heart is Jesus became something at Calvary that no one else had ever become. You and I, when we were born into this world because of Adam, we had a problem, a sin problem. But the Word of God declares that Jesus didn't have a sin problem, but Jesus became sin for us who knew no sin. that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I want you to think about that. I love the verse where it said, He bare our sin in His body on the tree. But I want you to know that He, much more than that, He was our substitute. It should have, listen, been you and I that hung on that cross. We're the ones that deserve to die. Brother Tim, was it you that used the word mercy? Listen, that's what mercy is. God took off of what you and I, what we deserved, and it was placed on His Son at Calvary. The songwriter, I heard the song years ago. It's special. I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. Listen, Jesus, He's the one, my friend, that hung on the cross in disgrace. He's the one that took your place and my place on Calvary. Jesus became something that no one else had ever become. He became our substitute. And listen, I don't know about you, but I want to be sure. Listen, every day ought to be a Thanksgiving day for the child of God. But I'm not against setting aside a special time. But I just want to say, I just thank God. Listen, that my grandchildren had somebody that was willing to take their place. That my wife had somebody that was willing to take her place. That I had somebody that was willing to take my place so that I could be a child of God. Jesus became something that no one else had ever become. Let me give you this. Jesus purchased something that no one else had ever purchased. When He went to Calvary, the Word of God tells us in the book of Acts, the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. Jesus bought the church, Zach. Jesus paid for the church. I've been having a little trouble with my throat, and it's no surprise to me that the enemy. The Apostle Paul said, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The enemy does not want a message like this proclaimed. He wants us to be thinking about a football game and thinking about a turkey. He don't want us to be thinking about Calvary. He doesn't want us to be thinking about that blood. He doesn't want us to be thinking about that mercy. Jesus purchased something that no one else had ever purchased. He purchased the church of God with His own precious blood. He loves the church. Amen. Every born-again believer ought to find a good church. Ought to join a good church. Ought to support a good church. Amen. Jesus loves the church. And He purchased the church with His own blood. The third thing I want to look at in the message today is Jesus showed something at Calvary that no one else had ever shown. You say, preacher, what are you going to talk about? I'm going to talk about love. You say, well, preacher, no one else had ever shown love? Listen to me carefully. Greater love. Jesus didn't just show love. He showed the greatest love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The greatest picture of love this world has ever seen is on an old rugged cross. Greater love, Jesus said, hath no man this than a man would lay down his life. You see, they didn't take Jesus' life. He laid down His life. He gave His life freely, willingly. You say, preacher, why would He do such a thing? Because He loves you. He loves me. He loves these children. He loves the church. I thank God today that Jesus showed something that no one else had ever shown. Number four, I said Jesus became something no one else had ever become. He purchased something no one else had ever purchased. He showed something no one else had ever shown. Number four, Jesus satisfied someone that no one else had ever satisfied at Calvary. You see, God is so holy that when it comes to salvation, He demands perfection. He demands holiness. You say, well, preacher, that leaves me out. Does me too. If you take away Calvary, let me help you to understand something. The Bible said in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 53, He, God, shall see of the travail of His, Jesus, soul. He shall see of the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. The only thing that will ever let you and I gain an entrance into heaven is Calvary. Listen, it's not my church membership. It's not my baptism. It's not my good deeds. It's not giving money in an offering plate. But thank God when the Lord looks at me, He doesn't see me like I am. He sees me through the blood of His Son. And He's satisfied that a work has been done in my heart and in my life. I believe this morning that many people in the world are religious. Even the people that are doing the wicked deeds are doing it in the name of religion. Brother Ralph, the people that drove the spikes in our Lord's hands did it in the name of religion. I'm surprised, my friend, that, listen, that so many people are depending on religion when what we need to be depending on is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Nicodemus was very religious. And yet Jesus said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you must be born again. There has to be a time in our life when we understand and realize I am the sinner. I should have been crucified. But listen, He took my place. And by simple faith, we come and trust Him to be our Savior, believing that the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient to pay for our sin. The next thing in the message I'll give you this morning is this. Jesus forgave someone that no one else could ever forgive. I want you to think about this. They've spit on Him. They've pulled patches of beard from His face. They've nailed Him to a cross. They've beaten Him to a pulp. He's bleeding. They even blindfolded Him and come along and hit Him, buffeted Him, and said, prophesy, who is it that hit you? You may not believe what I'm going to say, but before the world was ever formed, our Lord knew who would hit Him that day. You can't blindfold the God of glory. And He hangs there on the cross. His eyes are probably swollen to the point where He can barely see. But He cries, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And He said, if they do this in a green tree, what are they going to do in the dry? Give them a little time. It's only going to get worse, is what Jesus is saying. If they do this in the beginning, what will they do in the end? Jesus forgave someone that no one else could ever forgive. Two thieves, the Bible calls them malefactors. If you'll read your Bible, at one point in the crucifixion, they were both railing on Him. Both of them were saying the same thing. They were in agreement. If thou be the Christ, come down and get us down. If you are who you say you are, and you do have all power in heaven and earth, I just want to stop and say right there, I'm glad he didn't come down. I get to go up because he didn't come down. Both of them were railing on him. I don't know this to be a fact, but in the context of the story, it's right after Jesus cries, "Father, forgive them," that one of the thieves changed his mind. I wonder if our Lord, as he hung there, that thief didn't look at him and look at the crowd and look at him and look at the crowd. I wonder, Brother Steve, if something didn't go through his mind, something like this. If he could forgive them, maybe he could forgive me. I believe the maybe went away when he said, "Lord." In one word, Jesus, but he said one word to Jesus, "Lord." And in one word, he was saying, "As much as I believe you are who you say you are, you're God's son." By the way, boy, this is good. He didn't believe it just because there was something up over the top that said King of the Jews. Listen, there's nothing wrong with having up a sign where you live, amen? But there better be something besides a sign. There better be a changed life. If people are going to know that we've had an encounter with Christ. Jesus forgave someone that no one else could ever forgive. You say, "Preacher, how do we forgive?" We forgive in the person of Christ. Every time we forgive somebody, it goes back to Calvary. The next thing I see and the Lord put in my heart was Jesus promised something that no one else could ever promise. The thief looks over at Jesus and he says, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Here comes a promise from the Son of God. He said, "Today." No one else could promise him that. But thank God Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." I don't know about you, but the Lord made me a promise. First he said, "He that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out." He said, "Rick, if you'll just come to me, I know you've sinned. I know you've made a mess out of your life. I know you've tried religion for 6.5 years and that hadn't worked either. I know you still don't have peace. I know you still don't have hope. I know that you still don't know for sure that your name is written in heaven. I know that you're a sinner, but you need to know that I love you and that I died for you." And Jesus said, "If you'll just come to me." Boy, I didn't know what to expect that night. That night that I came to him, I had no idea what to expect. But I'll tell you what I found out. I found out that he loved me. I found out, Brother Ralph, that he had some grace that was greater than all of my sin. I found out where sin abounded, that's past tense, grace did much more abound. And he made me a promise. He said, "Son, I'm going to take you to heaven with me. I'm going to take you to heaven with me." He made this thief a promise. He said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." I've got to be nice to these ladies because Brother John was so mean to them in Sunday school. I told Sister Kim, I said, "If you all are driving so bad, how come it's the men's always having the wrecks?" Let me ask you a question. If you got in that car out here on the parking lot, and you started home or you started to the restaurant, and in a moment of time, something happened. I'm not trying to be ugly this morning, but we're living in a generation. We're taking steps towards protecting the church, but we're living in a generation when somebody could come through the door in a church. And in a moment of time, what you know as life would be over. People are mean. They're wicked. They'll kill you for a nickel. Am I right or am I wrong? But my question is this. If you got in the car and you had a destination in mind and you didn't make it, would your eternal destination be heaven? If you didn't make it to your temporal destination, where would your eternal destination be? You say, preacher, how can you say you know you would go to heaven? I can wrap that up in one word, Calvary. I've been to Calvary. I've been forgiven. He wrote my name way up in glory. What a blessing. Jesus promises something that no one else could ever promise. I'm going to give you this and I'm going to close. The last thing in the message, Jesus accomplished something at Calvary that no one else could ever have accomplished. I think this is a good illustration. You say, preacher, what did Jesus do? There was a holy God over here, Jehovah. There was a sinful man over here. The Bible said in Adam, all die. We inherit our sin from our father and him from his father and him from his father. And we inherit a sin nature. The Bible said, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so that death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So over here is mankind. Over here is a holy God. You say, well, what did Jesus accomplish at Calvary that no other was ever able to accomplish? He made us a bridge. Listen to me carefully. He made us a way at Calvary that a sinful man, can you believe this morning that we get the fellowship with a holy God? Because of the blood of Jesus, his son. Now listen, yesterday I was with my brother in Mountain City. And I went to McDonald's before daylight to get me a cup of coffee and some health food. A sausage and egg McMuffin. And as I pulled out of McDonald's, I'm not the best. Going across into a little parking lot there was a bridge. And they had that thing all barricaded. And they had up a big sign, the bridge is closed. Can I tell you, this bridge is not closed? Can I tell you that in America, it's a known fact that much of the infrastructure in America is in dire need of repair. Many of the bridges are, they actually, some of them, I'm not trying to scare you, they should be condemned, shouldn't they, Brother Randy? They ain't got no business with people going across them. But can I tell you, This bridge is not in need of repair. This modern generation's trying to tell you there's another bridge, but there's not another bridge between man and God than Calvary. Calvary's the only bridge. Calvary's the only way. You say, are you that narrow-minded? I'm just as narrow-minded as that book. And the Word of God tells you and I that it's by the shedding of blood. That's the only way there could be remission of sin. If you go back into the Old Testament when Adam and Eve sinned, they knew something was different. They knew they were naked. They hid themselves from God. You remember that? Among the trees. Remember that in the Bible? When they sinned immediately, they knew something had changed. And so what they did, they went to sewing fig leaves together to try to cover their nakedness. God said, Adam, where art thou? Can I tell you, God knew where Adam was? But he asked the question so Adam could discover where Adam was. But if you'll read after that, God pronounced the curse on the earth, on the man, on the woman, the curse of sin. The Word of God come along and the Bible said He made them coats of skins. Very early, Brother Randy, our Lord was painting a picture that the only way that a sinful man could fellowship with a holy God, blood was going to have to be shed. And if you go back in that Old Testament, that blood is shed all the way through that Old Testament. But it could never take away sin. It put off the sin from year to year. The sacrificial lambs, the goats, the doves, the turtle doves. But God, He sent His Son Jesus. John the Baptist stood on the shore of the Jordan River. He says, boys, I want you to look. There comes the Lamb of God. He ain't going to put it off for a year. He's going to take it away. He's going to take away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God. Brother Larry, I feel like John. John said, I'm not even worthy to unloose his shoe. But John understood that Jesus at Calvary would be our substitute. He would make it possible for someone that was born in sin. You know, we have a sin nature when we're born. We're not responsible when we're born because we're not accountable yet. But someone said, if you don't believe in the sin nature, just put two babies in one crib and give them one bottle. You will get a picture. You don't even have to give them one bottle. Just give them one truck. Amen, Brother John? Just give Max and Miles one truck. There's something called a sin nature. And there's a time in our life when we sin because it's in our nature. But we grow up, and there comes a time in our life when we sin because we choose to. We like it. You want to know why people aren't saved? They like it the way it is. You want to know why that people will argue that this is not the only bridge and this doesn't work? It's because they've never repented. The Bible talked about repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, when a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, gets tired of this over here. In the Bible, there's a story about the prodigal son. This is likened to a hog pen. Oh, there's different kinds of slop. Somebody say amen right there, but it's all slop. Sin is slop. He said, preacher, why am I still wallowing in sin? Because you like it. When there comes a day when you say, I'm tired of this. That's what happened in the prodigal's life. He said, there's something good going on down there at my father's house. I'm going to get up. I'm going to go to my father's house. And now he doesn't have that demanding spirit. Now he's humble. He says, Father, I'm not even worthy to be called your son. Just give me a hay bale out there in the barn with the servants. Amen. And let me be a servant and I'll be tickled. The father says, no, 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 no. Hey, bring forth the fatted calf. Put a ring on his finger. Put a robe on him. Put his shoes on him. My son's come home. That's the God that we serve. The bridge. It's not in need of repair. It worked in Paul's day and it works in our day. The bridge is not out. But I've read my Bible. Listen to me carefully right here. There will come a day when the bridge will be out. God said, I'll mock when their fear cometh. I'll laugh at their calamity. They've spit on me and they've mocked me and they've spurned my grace and they've said, I don't want any part of it. I love my sin and I'm going to stay in my sin. God said, there'll come a day when the bridge is no longer in place. Amen. You said, preacher, you really believe that? The Word of God said in the book of 2 Thessalonians, God said, I'll send strong delusion. All them that had pleasure in unrighteousness, they heard the gospel, but they chose their sin. They rejected the Savior. He said, all of them are going to believe a lie and be damned. The bridge will be out. As a matter of fact, we read even in our text today, they're going to run to the rocks. They're going to run to the hills. They're going to cry out, fall on us and hide us from the face of Almighty God. But this morning, the best news you'll ever hear in your life, I mean the very best news. The bridge is still open. And the bridge is not in need of repair. You say, preacher, I thought about this. Brother Larry, I think there's signs out in the country, especially over in Virginia. You tell me if I'm right. Don't they have some signs that say something like one lane bridge ahead? What that means is you can't pass on that bridge. It's not wide enough. It's narrow. Help me, Jesus. Amen. You say, preacher, how does a man get from heaven or get from a sinful world, our sinful ways to a holy God? There's a one-lane bridge. His name is Jesus. The cross has spanned that gulf between man and God. And it's a shame. But even many of God's people this Thanksgiving will not give Calvary one thought. Now I'm going to tell you something. I don't even know if Charity's been gone a week yet. But she's coming back Tuesday. Go to the doctor. And then she's staying for Thanksgiving. And then it just so happens that my little grandson's of Jeremy's is having a birthday party on Saturday. If we can dream up something else, Miss Eve, we will. Amen. Amen. But I tell you what makes our fellowship so sweet. we both crossed on the same bridge. We're both headed in the same direction. Even right now, you all might not believe this. You see them pictures of Olivia. Honey, there's a little devil living in there. I'm telling you there is. That youngin' can be defiant. That don't remind you of anybody, does it? Just look in the mirror when you get home. Amen. That little sin nature's in there. And if Olivia goes to heaven with Papa and Mommy and Daddy and Mama all, Aubrey, you back there, honey, she'll have to cross the same bridge that Aubrey crossed, that Papa crossed. The way of the cross leads home. Have you come by the way of the cross? Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for this great number that's come to hear the Bible preached today. Thank you, God, for touching my throat. Thank you, God, for Calvary. Draw us nearer this morning, Lord, nearer. Maybe it's been a while, Lord, since some of your youngins have really just thanked God for Calvary. Maybe there's someone here today and they're standing on another bridge. Lord, help them to understand that that bridge is not going to hold up. The only bridge that's going to hold up is Jesus and Calvary. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand how much you love us. I pray little Olivia will grow up one day and understand that it should have been her hanging on that cross. But Jesus, God's Son, took her place. Pray for Aaron and Avery, Lord. Josh and Jordan. Oh God. If there are those here today that perhaps they got a little bit of religion, but they don't really have a relationship with Jesus, how I pray today, Lord, you'll speak to their heart. Help them to know, God, that the bridge is not out and it's not in need of repair. Lord, a lot of people's trying to fix the bridge, and there's nothing wrong with the bridge. What's wrong is with us. I pray, oh God, this morning, speak to hearts.